One of the ways that we see transformation in our lives is in the world. Sometimes we have the opportunity to see before and after pictures, and we can see what something looked like before the change and what it looked like afterwards. Often we see these kinds of pictures in magazines or on social media. We see a picture of someone before they lost weight, or we see a picture of a house before it was landscaped. I mean, the yard before it was landscaped, the house before it was renovated. These things are people before this transformation happened, and then we see a picture of after, and we see what an amazing difference it has made. We also know that a great deal of effort and time and energy and probably money has gone into making this change possible. I wish that we could have a before and after picture of the man Jesus encounters in our scripture passage that we heard earlier this morning. However, I suspect that if we did have such a picture, the before version would probably not be appropriate to show in church. Mark describes a man who lives among the tombs and who cannot be restrained, not even with shackles or chains, though many have tried. He is violent and strong and uncontrollable. He cries out and howls, and he hurts himself with stones. This man sounds dangerous, someone that we would probably avoid if not for our comfort, for our own safety. Truthfully, to say that he lives among the tombs is a bit of a misnomer, because what he does can hardly be called living. His life has been taken over by a force beyond his control, though the wrong seems oft so strong. Mark calls it an unclean spirit. Some translations call it an evil spirit. Sometimes we call it a demon. And as the story goes on, we learn that there are many of these unclean spirits who have taken hold of this man. He is a man whose life is out of control. This is not a simple matter of him having made some poor choices and fallen into a pattern of sin. Perhaps there were some poor choices along the way that led him to where he is now, but now he is stuck. He is trapped in this life that is not really life. He is consumed by something that is destructive to him and to those around him. His community has all but given up on him. If we did have a before picture of this man, it would certainly not be a very pretty one. By every possible definition, he is an outsider. Isaiah chapter 65 describes people who have rejected God, and this man seems to fit that description in some surprising ways. Isaiah 65 verses 2 and 4 read, "I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh." This seems to fit this man's description. He lives inside tombs. He sits inside tombs. There's a herd of pigs nearby. He may have eaten the swine's flesh. He is in a place of uncleanliness before God. Clearly, this is not Jewish territory. We know that because of the herd of swine nearby. Jesus, in encountering this man, has ventured outside of the bounds of his community. Jesus has ventured to people who eat that which God has forbidden, to people who perhaps do not know God or do not follow God. And in this strange foreign place, Jesus encounters this man who has been rejected by his community, which even at their best was not considered a part of God's people. So what is Jesus doing here? We've already seen earlier in Mark how Jesus ate with sinners, and that surprised the leaders of his day. But here, this isn't just a meal with tax collectors. This is going to the place where a man lives who is possessed by demons, a man who lives among the tomb, a man who has a herd of pigs in his backyard. This is not a place that a teacher of God should be. The possessed man seems to wonder the same thing. What is Jesus doing here? When Jesus arrives on the shore, the man immediately approaches Jesus, and his reaction to Jesus seems to be conflicted. He bows down as if in submission to a stronger power, seems the demons recognize that their power is inferior to the power of Jesus. And yet the man shouts at Jesus, demanding of him, "What have you to do with me?" Jesus, the Son of God, the teacher of Israel, looks at this wild and frightening man and asks him a simple question. His question is a humanizing question, a connecting question. Jesus says, "What is your name?" Perhaps Jesus was talking to the evil spirit, trying to identify exactly who he is up against. But I tend to think that Jesus recognizes that somewhere inside this ravaged body is a person in need of God's love. "What is your name?" Jesus asks, perhaps remembering that this person was once lovingly named by his parents, and somewhere has people who love him, who miss him, who grieve what has become of him. But when Jesus asks, "What is your name?" it is the evil spirits who respond, demonstrating the totality of their control over this man. The man seems to be completely lost to these unclean spirits. But remember, this is only the before picture. There is an after picture yet to come. And the after picture shows a man who in verse 15 is depicted as sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. A total transformation has taken place. How is this possible? How can a man go from wandering among the dead, howling and cutting himself with stones, to sitting and wearing clothes and acting normal? How can this be? It sounds unbelievable, and yet Jesus demonstrates that he is more powerful than the dreadful forces that have taken control of this man. And the good news for us, friends, is that Jesus is more powerful than the dreadful forces in our lives as well. Jesus is more powerful than addiction. Jesus is more powerful than depression, more powerful than anger, more powerful than cancer, more powerful than grief. Jesus is more powerful than mental illness. Jesus is more powerful than whatever it is in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our world that we come up against and feel powerless. But to those who do not know they are lost, to those who do not know that they need a Savior, this good news is frightening. And they ask Jesus to leave. When this man is miraculously healed, the people from the town come and beg Jesus to go. They do not want this kind of power in their midst. It is too frightening. It is too overwhelming. The change that has taken place is more frightening to them than the man who was here before, possessed by demons. Think about that for a moment. The change is more frightening to them than the demons. They don't know what to do with this great power of Jesus. They cannot control it. They cannot control Jesus. "Go away," they plead. This is not good news for them because, unlike the man who lived among the tombs, they still think they are in control. They are not ready to give up their control, to give up the power they think they have to Jesus. The man who was possessed by unclean spirits already knows he is out of control. He knows the limits of his own power. But those who think they are in control do not want to give Jesus control. In our day and age, we do not talk so much about demons or unclean spirits, but we know about feeling powerless and lost. We know about feeling overwhelmed. We know about feeling out of control. And it is this kind of situation into which Jesus enters in Mark chapter 5 and brings peace and connection and hope for the future. This is not simply about avoiding sin and making good choices. This is much bigger than that. This is about entrusting Jesus with our lives, trusting that the power of Jesus is indeed bigger and stronger than the powers that try to destroy us. There are powers at work in the world that will try to destroy us. Powers like selfishness and greed, fear and anger, powers like addiction and depression, powers like our need to be right, our need to be in control, powers like cancer and Alzheimer's disease and mental illness. These are powerful forces in the world, forces we cannot control. And when they become part of our lives, they cannot be easily ignored or pushed aside. They can destroy us. They can destroy relationships and hope. They can destroy our bodies and our spirits. I heard recently that life expectancy in the United States has declined in recent years after decades of steadily increasing. And two of the factors that have contributed to this decline are an increase in death from drug overdoses and a rise in the suicide rate. These two factors have lowered our life expectancy. The opioid crisis and the lack of mental health resources are taking a toll on people, on families, on communities. Addiction and depression are powerful forces. They take lives. They can destroy us, much like the demon was destroying the man Jesus encountered in Mark chapter 5. But these powers are not as strong as Jesus. We see clearly in this story, Jesus is more powerful than anything that overwhelms us, that frightens us, that threatens us. Now, unfortunately, we know from experience that even with this great power, Jesus does not set everyone free from demons the way he did for the man he encounters in this story. For some, freedom takes a much longer road. For some, they never find freedom. And yet we trust that even though not everyone experiences miraculous healing, we trust that the power of Jesus can help. It can help us against these forces. It can help us endure and even find peace and hope. How difficult it is sometimes to understand the mind of Christ, the will of God, why things happen as they do, why some are healed and others are not. There is great pain and suffering, and I dare say faith in struggling with these questions. Even for the man in Mark chapter 5, notice that Jesus does not do everything that the man hopes he might do. Jesus does this amazing miracle in his life, and so in response, the man wants to go with Jesus. He wants to join his disciples. He wants to become his follower. And we would think that Jesus would welcome that. We would think that Jesus would want the man to follow him. But Jesus has a different task for him. Go home to your friends, Jesus says, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you. I imagine the man was surprised to hear Jesus refer to his friends. Does he have any friends? Do the friends that he had remember him? Will they accept him back? His life has been out of control. Perhaps he's afraid to leave Jesus. It's not until he met Jesus that his life seemed livable, and he doesn't want to leave the one thing that has given him hope and life. Perhaps he is afraid that if he goes back, the demons will find him again. But Jesus sends him with the power of Jesus, and Jesus sends him with a mission: go and tell. And that is our mission as well, to share what the Lord has done in our lives, to share how Jesus' power has set us free, perhaps not as dramatically as it has for the man that Jesus encountered in Mark 5. Perhaps we are still struggling to find that freedom, and we need to hear the stories of others. The power of Jesus can transform us. So what is your story? Jesus says, go and share your story. Share what the Lord has done for you. What has the Lord done for you? How has Jesus made a difference in your life? Go and tell how Jesus has brought hope and peace in times of despair. Go and tell how Jesus has transformed your life. May we go and tell so that others may also experience this life-giving transformation. Let us pray. God, who is our great healer, We give you thanks for your healing of mind and body and spirit. And God, we lift up to you the concerns we have this day for our own health, for the health of those we love, for the health of those in our communities, in our families, for our friends. We pray, God, for spiritual health, for mental health, for physical health. We pray, God, that you would be a God of healing, that we would witness your healing miracles. And for the times when those miracles do not come as quickly as we hope, or do not look the way we wished, or perhaps do not come at all in this lifetime, we pray, God, that you would grant us faith, that you would help us to maintain our hope, to maintain our trust in you, knowing that you are a God of power, a God of strength, a God who can send the demons away, a God who can send the dreadful forces of the world away from us, who can protect us, who can protect our hearts and our spirits and keep us strong, even in difficult and heavy and burdensome times. You are a God who lifts us up, and we pray, God, that you would lift us up this day, and that you would enable us to tell our stories so that we might lift up one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.